Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and we are getting so close to the end here of this really, really important preparation for a powerful consecration to merciful love and divine mercy. So let's enter in, as we always do, begging for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 32, Darkness. Three words summarize our week of going into the darkness: relate, see, and smile. First, relate. Saint Therese doesn't always make a good first impression. In fact, I've often heard that when people first meet her in her writings, they think, I can't relate to her. They say, what do I have in common with a girl who grew up in a sheltered home, lived in a cloistered convent, and died at just 24 years old? But then, as they get to know her more, they'll often say, I relate to her more than to any other saint. So why do people relate so much to someone who, on the surface, seems difficult to relate to? I think it's because, even though she apparently never committed a mortal sin, she was absolutely convinced that had God not sheltered her from an early age, she would have been a big sinner. And we believe her. We believe her particularly when she tells us that even if she had been a bigger sinner than we are, even if she had committed all the sins that could be committed, I would go, my heart broken with sorrow, and throw myself into Jesus' arms, for I know how much he loves the prodigal child who returns to him. Somehow, we relate to all that, or at least we want to. We relate to Therese because she's real, because she's not a plaster statue high on a pedestal. In fact, we get the sense that she's right down here in the grittiness of ordinary life with the rest of us. Speaking of ordinary life, we can also relate to Therese's ordinariness. During her life, she wasn't famous or well-known. Indeed, her time in the convent truly was a hidden life, full of the daily darkness we all experience. Yes, she's a great saint, but her standout sanctity is that she did little things with great love. Yes, in the midst of an ordinary, mundane life, she had extraordinary faith, hope, and love that are accessible to us all. As she herself put it, "Why would this treasure not be yours?" Finally, we relate to Therese's double darkness. In other words, like most of us, she not only knew herself to be weak and imperfect, more on that in the next point, but she knew what it was like to live in an age of secularism and doubt. And she knew it not because she actually lived in that world, as a cloistered nun she did not, but rather because the Lord allowed her to feel that God doesn't exist and that there isn't a heaven. That was her night of faith. Still, in the midst of such darkness, she clung to the Lord with faith, hope, and love, and encourages us to do the same. Second, see. Therese solves the mystery as to why the great saints see themselves as great sinners. She also solves the mystery as to why so many sinners are often so blind to the fact that they're sinners. It has to do with the reality of God's love, his burning, passionate, infinite love. Because great saints clearly see this reality. They're not blind to their sins. because people who don't think they're sinners don't clearly see the reality of God's love. They're blind to their sins. But if they did see the reality of His love, their eyes would be open to their sinfulness. To put it differently, Therese teaches us that when we clearly see the reality of God's passionate love for us, it makes us realize we can't compete. It reveals that when we compare God's infinite love for us with our own pitiful love for Him, our love is really nothing. But Therese doesn't leave us hanging. She tells us that God's love for us is so great that He allows us to borrow His own love. Now, according to Therese, we don't fully borrow the Lord's perfect love until we get to heaven. By heaven, I mean both heaven, where we go when we die, and heaven on earth, where we go on Sundays. Of course, regarding the latter, heaven, I'm talking about the Mass, which is where we can love God the Father through, with, and in the Son's own perfect love, and even see that love in the sacrament. Third, smile. Remember Therese's smile at her death. Let it be a sign for you. As Abraham had the stars and Mary had the words of Elizabeth, you have Therese's smile. So in times of darkness, when you're tempted to discouragement because of your own weakness, poverty, and sin, remember that smile. In times of darkness, when you're tempted to think that God and heaven do not exist, remember that smile. In times of darkness, when you're tempted to think there's no way you can become a saint, remember that smile. And actually, Therese is smiling at you now. With her prayers, she's preparing your heart to accept the gift of the offering to merciful love. She's telling you not to be afraid. She's saying, I do not regret having offered myself to love, and neither will you. So get ready. The day of your offering is just around the corner. All that rejected mercy will soon be yours, so don't forget to smile. Today's prayer. Spend the day pondering the offering to merciful love as it is summarized in these three words: relate, see, and smile. Do you relate to Therese? Dear Saint Therese, is she a saint that you've come to see differently than you did beforehand, you did at the beginning of this consecration preparation? How do you see her now? It seems like Father Gately's insight is very true and relatable, and I can attest to it myself with many people that I've talked to. I don't know, that necessarily wasn't me, although I will say I didn't have a full appreciation of Therese. I think just to kind of see her as a cute, simple saint, little girl who had everything easy and was able to just kind of be protected and had this nice insight about the ordinariness of holiness, was kind of how I saw her at first, and that's been slowly shattered of being able to see more fully her heart, that her boldness, her confidence in who God is, it doesn't just come from her shelteredness. It doesn't just come from the ease of her life, which is how I think many people see her. But her confidence, trust, boldness all comes from the real darkness and difficulty that the Lord allows her to go through. So how do you relate to Therese? What is it in her life? What is it in her teaching? And yeah, how are you able to see her as a companion, someone that's not dead and gone 200 years ago or so, but alive and present to you and wants to walk with you and encourage you and remind you of what's real and to give you trust and confidence in your own struggle and your own suffering and difficulty and experience of poverty and littleness and humility, that Therese can be there with you. If you didn't get a chance to really do it, please go through those pictures that are just a couple pages back, and to be able to go through, yeah, just some of those sweet, sweet pictures of Therese. She has somewhat of an impish smile I think that was a French style in a lot of ways. But yeah, you can see there's just so much in her smile and her eyes. And even as she's all dressed up in this French Victorian, whatever she is, she's wearing. There's a change though, huh? From her as a teenage girl to then her in the convent. She's holding up those images as she's in her Carmelite habit with the image of the infant of Jesus and the holy face of Jesus. Those were the, what do you call it? That was the two saints or devotions that she took as her namesake, the devotion to the infant and devotion to the holy face, which I just find very insightful, that on the one hand, her love for the littleness, the humility of God as an infant, but then also in the poverty and in the humility of Jesus in his passion and suffering as captured on the veil of Veronica, that can bring us into a similar insight into that reality of God. It's sometimes a hard thing for us to appreciate, but it's really one and the same mystery, the incarnation and the crucifixion. Both are manifestations of God and his utter self-abasement, his self-emptying love that goes to the lowest place. And that is his mercy, right? That's why we are invited to be humble, poor, and empty ourselves, so that he can come in his self-abasing love. It's who he is. We see that in the infant Jesus being completely dependent upon his blessed mother, on Joseph, to feed him, protect him. He's placed in the manger, literally a feeding trough for animals. He came to be able to give himself as food to the world. And that same love is the love that's on the cross, that says, there's nothing that you can do that can stop me from pouring my entire self out. And so Therese, in her own piety, chooses these two devotions to capture her religious life and her love for the Lord. So anyway, how does Therese relate to you? How do you find her inspiring? Or maybe where do you still struggle with her? Where is maybe the hiddenness, maybe the sinlessness, still something that's difficult? And yeah, those are all good things to reflect and to pray about whenever we consider Therese. The ordinariness he emphasizes still in this first topic of relate. I think that'd be a really good thing for us, and the ordinariness. I'll just share myself. I just see in my own heart just such temptation maybe to branch out and to look for more than just the holiness in the mundane. I think our world today offers us so much opportunity for the spectacular, the awesome, the amazing. And holiness is all those things. It's awesome and it's amazing, but it's in the hidden way. It's in the way that we can store up for ourselves treasure, not on this world, but store up treasure in heaven. And so to see in the mundane, in the ordinary, that we have saints, we have our guardian angel, we have our patron saints that are cheering for us and just like rejoicing at our loving service and our kindness that no one else is noticing or recognizing. And for us just to tap into that and to be able to see, while the whole world offers like this path of self-aggrandizement through social media and other things, that we might truly seek to please and glorify the Lord and him only in everything that we do. That next word for today is all about seeing, vision. I was touched a couple years back in reading the Gospel of Mark, and I was touched because it really seems that there's a theme with Mark's Gospel and others too, but I don't know, just caught it when I was reading through Mark, that it's almost as if the greatest miracle that Jesus works is the miracle of restoring sight to the blind. And if you remember some of the different moments through the gospel, it's the blind who are able to see the best. It's the blind who have the deepest faith. And they're the ones who, in the midst of everyone else who has perfect eyesight, they're the ones who are able to call out and recognize, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's those who are blind who are able to really have this act of faith to be able to see who Jesus is and respond with this real surrender and a self-abasement. And so, yeah, I think about that a lot, of how the gospel writers and the Lord really want us to see rightly. And, you know, it's a curious thing, like out of all of the senses that we have, which one would we most be afraid to lose? Maybe there's different debate on that, but it seems like most people would be most distressed in losing their ability to see, right? There's something about vision that gives us a very comfortable access to the world and to reality. But I guess to be able to connect to that, like, physical sense to our spiritual sense, then more so than physical sight, we want to have spiritual sight to be able to see who God is, to be able to see who our brothers and sisters are in the world, to see them the way that God sees them, to be able to see reality the way that God sees reality. Anything else is secondary and will lead us astray. But we want to have this biblical lens to see ourselves in this plan of salvation history, where we are destined for heaven, in peril of hell, where more real than the physical is the spiritual and the supernatural, where there are angels that are trying to help us, there are demons that are trying to distract us, and that we are called to keep our faces like flint to the cross and to stay focused on loving the Lord, consoling him in all things, and bringing as many people as possible along with him. That's the way that we're supposed to see the world. Anything else is a sad counterfeit. And finally, the smile. Yeah, we're just encouraged to be able to remember Therese's smile. Why? Not just because it's a cute smile. It's a smile that reminds us, at the end of her life, in the midst of all of her darkness and doubt, she was given one last consolation, this like 11th hour grace to know God's love, that was able to burst through her chest and allow her final heartbeat to be one that united her love to Jesus's love and to call her home. And that smile was something that her sisters who were there at her bedside were able to see and attest to as a confirmation of, it's real and it's worth it. So may we hold on to that smile for our own consolation and our own encouragement in staying true to the Lord and striving for heaven and settling for nothing less. May we spend the rest of this day pondering these words: relate, see, and smile. God bless you all. We just have one more day of preparation, and then we are off to our consecration. If you haven't had a chance to read that final section on the consecration day, maybe today would be a good day to do that, just to get your mind a little bit more comfortable with what the consecration day looks like and what plans you might need to make to be able to allow that to happen as fruitfully as possible. God bless you all. Praying for you in these final days. Please pray for me. See you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.